Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning.
Let us begin this edition from the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, who for the salvation of souls will that Bishop St. Francis de Sales become all things to all, graciously grant that, following his example, we may always display the gentleness of your charity in the service of our neighbor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. And the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have an amazing and a remarkable movie stars in this week. So, first of all, St. Francis de Sales. This spirituality from St. Francis is very eloquent for all of us in this current life, you know?
St. Francis de Sales is really one of the greatest examples for us in the church today, especially in our attempts to re-evangelize or re-engage people that have fallen away from the church. When Francis took over as bishop in what had become a Protestant land, he brought 50,000 people back to the faith.
Wow.
All on his own.
Wow.
And this is just, it's a remarkable feat in the history of the church, not of going to a place where people had never been Christians before, but of going to a place where people had been Christians. Some had totally fallen away from the faith. Some had joined other communities, and he was able to bring them back into the unity of the church.
It's beautiful how you describe unity, because the spirituality from this kind of, title of bishop is a strongest unity through the living in Christ example of life as well. And St. Francis de Sales is very famous also as a spiritual director, right?
Yeah, so he in some ways is the father of modern spiritual direction together with St. Ignatius. It's not that direction didn't exist before that, but the thing that we know now, which is where not only priests or religious but pious lay people and really anybody trying to make important decisions in life might very consciously and deliberately appropriate a director, that is really something we owe to St. Francis de Sales.
If we are request for confession, and sometimes the people necessities describe, I need go to for confession, but not only to confess my sins, also I need the spiritual direction. So it's a very interesting, I don't want to say dilemma, but it's to discern how we can approach that. And St. Francis de Sales have a great reputation to good advisor as well, you know?
Yeah, so Francis was excellent as a director, both for ordinary peasant people and shopkeepers, and then for kings and queens. I mean, he was a very prudent man and a very wise man, and had the ability to discern well in particular situations. I think, you know, for our listeners, and we'll talk a bit more about this in the next segment, but when it comes to the question of confession and direction, there are certainly times that it makes sense for the things to go together. But here's what doesn't make sense. If your parish church has confession scheduled for half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour, and there's a line of people, that is not the time for you to come and do spiritual direction.
Absolutely not.
It's an act of uncharity toward the people behind you.
Oh, boy.
And frankly, to the priest, who's the one they're going to yell at, not you. And so don't do that. If you need direction, you need to schedule an appointment with the priest. In all honesty here, we need to be very clear that like our priest time is pretty precious. Most of us have our plates very, very full. And so you need to be understanding when they can't always accommodate the request right away. But if you need your sins forgiven, like right now, because you did something and you know it was wrong, go to confession. Don't wait to go to confession to go to spiritual direction. You can always say when you have time and when you get the direction scheduled, I went to confession and this is what I said, but you can't do it the other way around.
Absolutely. Call my attention how you describe, Father, this extreme in terms of hierarchical or in terms of famous or better position that St. Francis de Sales advocate in terms of spiritual education for the people. Princes, kings, but also normal people. So the secret about this kind of approach, obviously, is discernment.
Yeah, De Sales was absolutely insistent that everyone is called to holiness. Absolutely everyone.
Introduction to the devotional life.
That's exactly right. And so the introduction to the devout life was written for ordinary people. It wasn't written for monks. It wasn't written for kings. It was written for shopkeepers and shoemakers and laboring folk. And so it's really, really important to understand that holiness is not the realm of the privileged few, but is the common call to every Christian. The way that that works itself out is going to look different based on your vocation, which is as it should be. But God meets us in the concrete, not in the abstract. And so in the events of your own daily life, it will become clear what it is God's drawing you to do.
The bishop position sometimes is not a friendly one. People presume that is everything in control, but also most calling to be in authority of Jesus Christ himself at the diocesan level. Mm-hmm. And this role from St. Francis de Sales is great inspirational for our bishops in terms to manage those kind of extreme categories of people as well, you know?
That's right. You know, one of my favorite stories about Francis de Sales is that when Jane de Chantal, who winds up a saint herself, when she first approaches him about founding a religious order. She's a relatively recent widow. Her husband's been dead a year or two. And she wants to take a portion of the inheritance she's received from her husband's estate and found a convent of nuns. And he says to her at the beginning, are you going to bankroll this or do you want to be a nun? And she's kind of startled because she hadn't really thought about becoming a sister herself. And she says, oh, well, no, I just thought I'd be the benefactor, right? And he says, so are you planning on remarrying? Because it's been long enough now, she could do so,
okay,
right? And she's still wearing black. She's still sort of in official mourning. But she looks down at her dress and she says, no, I'm not. Well, he looks down at her dress and it's cut very low at the neckline. And he says, well, Madame de Chantal, if you're not interested in eating dinner, then you should probably put the menu away. He very gently chides her, and he was famous for this. He teased her into virtue, and he used humor not as a wedge or a tool or a hammer to embarrass people, but as a way to gently guide them into the places that they needed to go. The best spiritual directors that I've had have done the same thing. They've helped me laugh at myself better so that I could fix whatever my bad behavior was.
Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Blessman International. According to a global food security report, more than 820 million people in the world are hungry today. None of us can help them all, but how about one? One child. Blessman International provides 60,000 children in South Africa with a daily hot meal, place of safety, educational experience, and spiritual development. Learn more at BlessmanInternational.org. That's BlessmanInternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Knights of Columbus agent Mike Borman with the Borman Agency, offering life insurance, annuities, long-term care, and disability insurance. The Knights of Columbus is a fraternal benefit society able to provide financial security to members and their families. Learn how Knights of Columbus agent Mike Borman can help. 563-689-6801. Knights of Columbus agent Mike Borman, 563-689-6801. Thank you to the Borman Agency for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That is why those who share that Spirit understand one another so readily. To try to teach people about Christ and the mysteries of our holy faith is almost like trying to teach a blind man color. Unless those people are ready to receive the Spirit of Christ himself. Now converts who take instruction come to know that Jesus is our Lord. Where do they learn it? From the Spirit. The Holy Spirit woos the soul, draws it to a closer fellowship, to a more intimate union, becomes our sanctifier, just as the Father is our Creator and the Son is our Redeemer.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
They provide unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules, all part of the Mercy College experience.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, an authorized independent agent for Walmart Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Learn more at 515-226-2111 or cindyschulte.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. St. Francis de Sales, famous about the spiritual director, but let us define what is the role and the meaning of a spiritual director.
Right. So a spiritual director is a person, a priest or a layperson, with whom we engage in mutual discernment and spiritual conversation. The term gets used at different times and in different places, and at different points in our life, a director might have more or less authority over us. So a spiritual director of a religious in the context of their formation has a lot more kind of yes and no authority than a person just coming to their parish priest for advice or something like that, right? But what I think is really important here is there's been kind of mix up and pushback in different directions around all this. Spiritual direction in the history of the church has absolutely not been the exclusive domain of priests and religious. That's just not the case. There's all kinds of examples from the tradition that we can point to. But the work has often looked different at those times. There was even a tradition very common until recent times in the Eastern churches whereby monastics, monks, or nuns who are not mostly priests in the East, very few of their monks are ordained, would serve as spiritual directors, and they would write out essentially a spiritual prescription, like you would take to the pharmacy, except instead of taking it to the pharmacy, you would take it to your parish priest, who is your confessor. So he would assign the penance based on the advice of the director, of the spiritual director.
Okay.
So that there was a sort of in concert thing going on there. Now, I'm not saying exactly bring that back, but I certainly have people that come to me for confession who will say, well, Father, my spiritual director says I should work harder at blah, blah, blah. Yes, please do that. He's or she's got a better insight into that than I can possibly have in this exchange. But it does help keep neater and cleaner those divisions between confession and spiritual direction, because I know that I have the experience, I'm sure you do too, where people come in and they want to have a conversation about their whole life and unveil all the things. And it's just it's not necessary for the sacrament, and it can cause real harm if it's happening at a time where there's other people trying to get access to the sacrament.
You were talking a little bit in before the break about the difference between sacrament reconciliation and spiritual direction as well.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to extend a little bit the reconciliation process into the spiritual orientation about the next step, you know?
Here's how I do it, right? Is sort of like the Venn diagram or whatever. Like, spiritual direction may involve confession if your director is also a priest. But confession need not necessarily involve spiritual direction. It's entirely possible for someone to simply come in and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I lost my temper with my wife. I don't need to deep dive that. If he knows what he did, he knows why he did it. I give him a penance and absolve him and let him go. That doesn't need to become a thing, right? And there shouldn't be an expectation that every time it's a thing. At the same time, if somebody comes in and says, Father, I've really been struggling with X, can you help me overcome that? Yeah, we should be able to make limited periods of time for people to do that.
So how we can describe the boundaries for spiritual directions to don't abuse our condition as a directors and also to don't perform psychological advice as well, you know?
So I think the best thing that most of our listeners could do is get a regular confessor. Even before attempting spiritual direction, just get a regular confessor. So one priest that you go to habitually. Does it mean that if you're on vacation, you can't? No, of course it doesn't mean that. But that by default, he's the guy you go to. And then using his repetitive counsel, figure out kind of where your sweet spots are, where things are good, where things are bad, and then bring that back to direction to try and get focus on where to go, what to do, and how to fix your problems.
That is a very important clarification, because sometimes we are in a little bit confusing that everything in my life must be consulting by the spiritual director, and obviously create a not healthy relationships. May I use the word, probably create a dependency.
That's right.
That is not healthy to growing individually as a Christian person.
It's very easy for people with codependent personalities to try and cultivate codependence in the spiritual director, and that's very, very unhealthy for both the people and the director. Part of the reason I'm emphasizing this distinction between direction and confession is because there are several organizations. This is not like an advertisement or an approval of any one of them, right? But there are several organizations trying to work on online spiritual direction, recognizing the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of penance, needs to be done in person. You have to have a physical person there because it's a sacramental action. It involves physicality.
Absolutely.
But, you know, privileged confidential conversation about my prayer life or my family life or my social life or whatever, that doesn't need to happen in that context. That could very easily happen over Zoom with an appropriately trained, informed person in another place. And so utilizing those resources as best we can is good for you, and frankly, it's good for your parish priest.
Some people mentioned that during this pandemic was in the way to require that, why is not possible sacrament reconciliation through Zoom or remote way, in other words, because about this social distancing, you know?
For the very same reason that, you know, you can't distribute communion virtually, right? Like it's a physical act. And even if the priest doesn't touch you in the course of the confession, his physical presence there is significant.
Absolutely. And, Father, when we're talking about spiritual direction, we have to receive special gifts to be a spiritual director, more than, formal academical formation for it.
So just as St. Paul spoke about in last week's epistle, right, there are many parts in one body. And so there's an element of spiritual direction that involves formalized training, of course. And there's also an element of spiritual direction that that involves both natural and supernatural gifts. Those are rightly discerned under the leadership of the pastors of the church, and especially the bishop. No layperson should just on their own, without training, put their shingle out and start advertising themselves as a spiritual director. Like, that needs to be done in conversation with the pastors of the church. And if your pastor or the bishop tells you to knock it off, you need to knock it off, because they're in charge. By the same token, you don't need a qualified certificate in spiritual direction from some institute to constitute you as a spiritual director. Otherwise, almost nobody in the whole history of the church has been a real spiritual director.
So in other words, we are the microphones, and only God is who speaks.
The voice, yeah.
As a spiritual director. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
St. Vincent de Paul helps so many people.
You're right, Zoe. St. Vincent de Paul Executive Director Steve Havman here. We are serving over 32,000 local residents with food, clothing, furniture, and financial assistance annually. We invite you to learn more about all of our life-changing programs that positively impact so many Iowans by simply Googling St. Vincent de Paul of Des Moines. Our mission is to help those in need become self-sufficient through education, community connectedness, and unconditional support. Help us help others.
Even kids!
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinsarah.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
What is the best gift ever? Giving a Catholic education is at the top of my list. Your contribution to CTO helps families send their children to our Catholic schools who otherwise could not afford it. In giving to CTO, you receive the best tax credits ever. Pledge or donate online at ctoiowa.org. The bottom line, it's for the kids and their future.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Blessman International. According to a global food security report, more than 820 million people in the world are hungry today. None of us can help them all, but how about one? One child. Blessman International provides 60,000 children in South Africa with a daily hot meal, place of safety, educational experience, and spiritual development. Learn more at BlessmanInternational.org. That's BlessmanInternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. We were talking about spiritual direction. This week we have that conversion from St. Paul. And this coming Sunday, we have in the second reading the first letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians. So it's an amazing description that helps us to understand the meaning of the spirituality as well.
Brothers and sisters, strive eagerly for the greatest spiritual gifts, but I shall show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in human and angelic tongues but do not have love, then I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all the mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. It is not pompous. It is not inflated. It is not rude. It does not seek its own interests. It is not quick-tempered. It does not brood over injury. It does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there are prophecies, they will be brought to nothing. If tongues, they will cease. If knowledge, it will be brought to nothing. For we know partially, and we prophesy partially, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I used to talk as a child, think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, we see indistinctly, as in a mirror, but then face to face. At present, I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This is a very, very beautiful piece, eloquent by itself. But at the same time, Father, when we're talking about spiritual direction, listen to people, if we miss love, when we listen to people, only focus in the errors, mistakes, fragilities, frustrations, what else we can do for the people?
Yeah, I mean, this is why love has to remain at the center. It's interesting, right? This is probably the most common reading at weddings these days, and it's not a mistake. But I'm not sure that couples, when they choose it, always know what it is they're getting themselves
the meaning
into. This kind of love is not identical with romantic love.
Absolutely not.
It doesn't mean that romantic love is bad. It's just incomplete. Romantic love ought to grow into this thing. But I've never met a couple where someone or other doesn't eventually brood over something. Right. So this is about more than an affective disposition. It's about more than an emotion or a feeling. It's about more than simply affection or desire for another. It's a full, conscious, and deliberate direction, movement of the will towards another for their own good. And that's just not something that happens all the time, every day.
Listen to you back to my mind, God is love, from the Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI, the first part when he described the eros, no? All the energy, the fire of the love, you know, that probably the couples today, the youngest today, focus only in the eros and the fire one.
Right.
But we must move in into the second part, the agape, to share all those gifts, all those blessings, to growing together in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because the love that describes St. Paul here is not an egocentric love. It's
That's
not
exactly
a,
right.
an eccentric in my own desires, in my own appetites. On the contrary, it's moving forward to share, to die for the other, in other words.
That's exactly right. So it's important here to keep fixed on the object of our love, which ultimately has to be God, who is worthy of all my love. That's what we say when we say the act of contrition, right?
Yeah.
Everything else we love because of God, but not sort of the other way around. We might come to appreciate God's goodness more in light of particular creations, even if that particular creation is another person, but But if I begin to love the creature more than the creator, then I've inverted the order of love.
So it's a little bit forward from this visceral experience of love. It's more conscious and more sublime expression, affection to my neighbor in the presence of Jesus Christ himself. In other words, to identify the face of God in the people who are right in front of me.
One of the things that the church teaches that I think we probably don't preach on sufficiently is what's known as the ordo caritatis, the order of love. And the idea here is that it's the kind of corollary or parallel to subsidiarity. So you should love your wife or your husband more than your neighbor's wife or husband. Like that is right and just. You should love your kids more than some other person's kids. And sometimes in families this happens where like a parent will develop a real close bond or affection, maybe with a niece or a nephew favoring them over their own children, or with one of their kids' friends favoring them over their own kid or something. That's real screwed up. Don't do that. See a shrink. That's not the way this is supposed to be. Instead, what's supposed to happen, right, is that we love those people most directly connected to us because love grows by use, and that in loving my wife, my husband, my kids, my folks, my neighbors, my friends, my fellow parishioners, I grow in my capacity to love other people's spouses, other people's children, other people's Absolutely. Neighbors, other people's friends, but it's not so immediate. It's just not possible for me to have the same kind of love for a person I don't know on the other side of the world as it is for somebody who's right next to me. But if I grow to genuinely love that person next to me, then what I have for the person on the other side of the world will be real and authentic.
Absolutely. So in other words, how we can improve our spiritual self-esteem in terms of love, to don't fell down in any narcissism, any egocentrism as well.
You got it. That's exactly right.
So let us also understand this dimension of love expressed by Saint Paul, the necessity of a real conversion, you know? We need to change also our vision about our own selves to see in a different, manageable perspective the other way.
The admonition to love our neighbor as ourselves presumes loving ourselves. So self-love is not of itself narcissistic, but it's got to be authentic, and it needs to look different than our love for anybody else. I had a professor in college who's sort of weird, who had this book called Self-Love, the Forgotten Romance. Don't romance yourself. Don't take yourself out on dates. That's weird and creepy. But do glory in, take delight in the good that God has made in you, the good that God does in you, the legitimate good that God does in you and for you and through you.
Almost approaching our ending program today, Father, could you please send them with the love of Christ a blessing?
May the God of love grant you the fullness of peace and the Lord of life be with you always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid. Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.